The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Greetings from Salford, where we've been attending the Salford International Media Festival. There's been a whole day devoted to radio. There's a very interesting piece by Ashley Byrne about some of what was announced at the festival on the Radio Today website. But I've been talking to Sam Bailey, who is the editor of visual content for BBC Radio 1 iPlayer. He's been telling me what works and what doesn't in the world of visualisation, and also why Radio 1 now claims to be the most watched radio station in the world.
Well, we've been filming stuff for what feels like 10 years or longer. I remember one of the earliest pieces was Chris Moyles in a canal barge for a week or something. You know, and
because it's not just marketing and advertising your radio product, is it?
No, absolutely not. I think that's an important part of it. I mean, radio, we want people to know about Radio 1, and a great place for them to find out about Radio 1 is that place where they spend a lot of their time, which is on their phones, in YouTube, in Facebook, in Twitter, and so on. But really what it's about is, for us, is about Radio 1 being a multimedia entertainment brand that young people engage with, whether that's by listening to the radio, as 7.5 million people do, or whether that's engaging with us through a super short form video on our social media platforms, where we have sort of more than 2 million followers on each, or through finding something through a recommendation on YouTube, and more recently, through the stuff that I've been working on BBC iPlayer.
I'm really interested to know how ideas get to the screen. So, I don't know, let's take the Greg James, David Attenborough thing. Is that a question of the DJ or the producer comes to you and your team, or do you have the idea and you go to them? I mean, how do these ideas actually generate?
Well, of course, it's a mixed bag. You know, sometimes a presenter will have an idea. You know, those great parody videos that Greg James does, I mean, that doesn't come out of anybody else's crazy brain other than Greg's, as you might expect. Sometimes it's a producer who says, we've got this guest coming in, how about we do something a little bit different? We have a little chinwag. Sometimes it's the visual radio team saying, you know, we could do Big Weekend a little bit differently this year. How about we try this? So, you know, I think the whole of the eighth floor of Broadcasting House, where Radio 1 and 1 Extra are based, are now working in that way, you know, and have been for sort of the best part of a decade. We think in lots of different dimensions and think about making great radio, but we think about how to reach young people in all sorts of different ways as well.
What do you want from kids coming into what we still call the radio business? Do you want them to be multi-skilled?
They are, whether I want them to be or not. And that's the incredible thing. You know, people will come out of a university degree or a college course with skills using a stills camera, which can also shoot incredible video with a MacBook to edit it all on, and all the internet skills to publish it. It's absolutely the people that are coming to us are multi-skilled, and that's great because it means that they're coming in at the bottom rung, through the front door, with all the skills they need. And what differentiates people after that is their ideas and their execution. And we want people with great ideas about how to engage with the audience. And some of our more recent presenters have been doing that entirely off their own back as well. The likes of Dan and Phil and the other YouTube vloggers that are now presenters on Radio 1. And then they come to us and they've got a great starting point before they've even started working with us.
So when you have a Radio 1 executive meeting, or whatever you call it, how important is your input? Are you the kind of go-to guy? You know, is it a question of, look, if Sam doesn't want to do this, it's not going to work?
I mean, there's about seven or eight editors at Radio 1 now, what we used to call execs, and I'm one of those, and I sit around a table once a week with them, and we look at the weeks and months ahead. But everybody thinks visually, you know. The editors are all thinking. They come to me as in your previous question, you know, this would make a great visual thing. Why don't we sort of pimp this a little bit and turn it into something for iPlayer as well? Or everybody's thinking in that way. And over the years, we've developed those kind of quality thresholds, and we've developed those those kind of criteria as we've learned what works and what doesn't work. And people do come to us and say, will this work? Sometimes it flies and sometimes it doesn't. It's the same as anything else, really.
So if you were advising a smaller scale radio station, maybe a local station or a community station or somebody, a station that's interested in this but doesn't perhaps have the budget and certainly, you know, is not national, what would you advise them to do? What's going to work? What isn't going to work?
I was talking at the student radio conference earlier this year, and what I said to them was, first of all, think about why you want to film it. Filming things that are happening on the radio has become fashionable, but when your resources are tight, you need to cut your cloth, don't you? So why are you filming it? What are you trying to reach? What are you trying to do that you can't do just with the radio station that you've got? What are your means of distributing that video? Are you trying to get reach? Are you trying to sell ads? Are you trying to make money? Are you trying to build brand awareness? There's all sorts of reasons why you might film something, including, you know, the thing that you're doing might just be better filmed. But
on the other hand, Sam, it could be worse.
It absolutely could be worse. And you know, as Joe was talking about earlier in the presentation, there's plenty of mistakes that we've made that we hope to kind of share. So think about all of those things and, you know, don't spend thousands of pounds on equipment, for example, if you're not sure that you're going to get a return on that, whatever that return is. It might not be financial. It might be in terms of kind of, you know, recognition or awareness. But yeah, start with that point. Ask yourself seriously why you're doing it. Because if you are a small community station or a student radio station, you're probably not going to get huge reach. And let, you know, it's very unlikely that your thing is going to explode worldwide because you probably haven't got the huge guest that then going to tweet it. And there's this kind of temptation to kind of think, if I build it, they will come. So I think having that conversation with yourself beforehand. Once you've had that conversation, you know what you're going to do. Look for the most cost-effective way of doing it. And it might be that that's through borrowing a couple of cameras and a couple of tripods, or shooting it using your stills camera, or yes, sometimes shooting it using your phone. There are the cameras in phones are great these days, but a lot of the production values are about how you hold that camera. Is it on a tripod? Is it on a gimbal that makes it look like Steadicam? How are you recording the sound? How are you editing it, distributing it? But that's the second conversation after the one that goes, why am I doing this in the first? It's that old thing of what success looks like. Make sure you know before you start.
I was also interested in something you said about the vocabulary that you use, because if there's one thing worse than that constant iteration of, you know, Facebook me on this and text me on that and call me on this, it's that check out the video on our website. It just sounds a bit old-fashioned, and it also sounds as though you're inviting the listener to go away and do something else.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, one of the challenges for us working on iPlayer is that, of course, all the Radio 1 shows are available to listen to on iPlayer, iPlayer Radio, as well as all of our video content is available to watch on iPlayer or selections of it. So we do have that challenge. One of the things that listeners to Radio 1 might have started to hear, heard recently, is us saying, instead of saying, you can find that on iPlayer, or passive verbs along those lines, check it out or get it or whatever, we say, watch that on iPlayer or listen to that on iPlayer. And it's just a simple way of differentiating, frankly, which bit of iPlayer or which app that we're asking you to load up. Whether it's a question about whether it's diverting people away from live listening, I don't know. I mean, people are going to do that anyway. People are not going to listen to the radio nonstop. They will turn the radio off and they will look at their phone or they will turn on the TV. And what we want to kind of get into people's minds is that when they're ready to do that, there's something of ours that they can watch or engage with. So,
Sam, just one other thing. While we... I think we're being moved on. What other radio stations are doing the kind of thing that you're doing? Are there any other places we should look?
There's some great stuff coming out of Capital at the moment. They've got a karaoke feature that they do, which is great, and great numbers on YouTube, kind of ad hoc, kind of live karaoke on the radio, which is doing, because they got great guests, great pop guests doing great pop songs. There's some really good stuff coming out of Australia at the moment. The SCA stations, the Hamish and Andy stuff is really good. They did some brilliant stuff with Justin Bieber. They're sort of trying to kind of create a live lounge on the roof of their building in Melbourne. And they did a fantastic one where they got four Little Mix fans to act as human mic stands, stood in front on their knees in front of Little Little Mix while Little Mix was singing, which was both bizarre and brilliant. So yeah, things are there's a lot of really good stuff out there, and a lot of stations really using the platforms, particularly with those kind of pop music, kind of targeting those pop music fans.
And you're also influenced, aren't you, by the things that come out of American television shows?
Yeah, definitely. You know, forget that it's radio and forget that it's TV and just think it's a presenter with a famous person, it's a level playing field. And we think about what Kimmel's doing, we think about what James Corden has taken over to America, we think about the kind of the lip sync battles, you know, all those sorts of things that have grown out of American late night chat shows as great opportunities. And we do kind of look at those as our, you know, our competition is digital, you know, isn't necessarily just radio, and certainly not just the UK.
Sam Bailey, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. This is the Radio Today programme. Let's have some news now from Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. The big stories this week. Ian Lee has left BBC Three Counties Radio. It's unknown if he walked or if he was pushed, but the news was confirmed to Radio Today over the weekend, not long after he apologised for the way he conducted an interview with a Christian Concern campaigner. UTV's Christmas radio stations are back for 2015. Signal Christmas, The Wave Christmas and Pulse Christmas all start on November 27. And Time 107.5 in Romford has moved to brand new studios inside a local shopping centre. You can see all the photos and details of the big move on radiotoday.co.uk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
It's 93 years this week since the first shipping forecast.
There are warnings of gales in Forties, Cromarty, Forth, Tyne, Dogger, German Bight, Humber, Thames and South East.
As much as anything, it is the recitation of the place names.
Viking,
because
South
those
Sierra,
place names
Forties, Fisher,
are shorthand for wild places. They are remote places that most of us will never go to.
Happy birthday to the first shipping forecast, which began this week in 1922 and lives on to this day on long wave. Those heady days this time in 1922 also brought the start of the British Broadcasting Company itself and the first news bulletin.
This is London calling.
The voice of Arthur Burroughs, who read the first ever news bulletin in Britain. It was heard on 2LO in London this week, 93 years ago. We lost a Radio 4 news voice 10 years ago this week from Radio 4's Today programme.
Good morning from John Timpson in Brighton, where at 10 to 3 this morning, an explosion extensively damaged the Grand Hotel, in which the Prime Minister and a number of...
You, of course, have made up your own mind, presumably, in your own personal opinion, which you will be putting to the Cabinet. What is that opinion?
I think I will put in the Cabinet before I put anywhere else.
And if the Cabinet decision doesn't coincide with your own personal opinion, you will presumably follow the Cabinet's decision.
It doesn't usually happen.
Don't you just love that interview in chemistry? John Timpson, who died this week in 2005 after waking up Radio 4 listeners for 16 years. Johnny Vaughan stopped waking up London this week 4 years ago.
But the funny thing is the thing we really like are the texts and things we get and the calls we get from callers, because they kind of entertain us. We had a text the other morning from a woman just saying, I just found a salmon on the path near Finchley. Has anyone dropped a salmon on the way to work?
Johnny Vaughan, who enjoyed one of those sudden departures from capital London this week in 2011 after 7 years on the show. He'd followed in the footsteps of Chris Tarrant, Graham Dean, Mike Smith, David Simons and Kenny and Cash.
This is Capital 194 on the medium wave band, or if you're posh and you've got stereo, it's around about the middle of the dial somewhere at 95.8 motorcycles per second, something like that. I don't understand these technical details.
Freddie Griswood died this week 43 years ago. He'd enjoyed a long and varied career with BBC and was perhaps best known for being the first host of Radio 4's Any Questions from its beginnings in 1948 on the Light programme.
And I think this is the most original question we've ever had in Any Questions.
Miss Wigan says, you have, we hope, been enjoying a good dinner. We've been sitting like good children waiting for tidbits from your table. What did you discuss at dinner?
May I make one thing quite clear, Mr. Chairman? We weren't discussing very much at dinner. We were mostly listening to Mr. Woodrow White.
Margaret Thatcher with Freddie Griswood, who died this week in 1972. And there he was on the Light programme. This week in 1978, Radio 4 got a new sick tune.
Thursday is also the day when we have a new piece of music to start the day off on Radio 4. And in case you are not up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I play it to you now. So here it is. The new Radio 4 opening music.
The much-loved UK theme previewed on Radio 4 this week 37 years ago. It was written by Fritz Spiegel, who'd written the previous Radio 4 theme, the skipping theme. Fritz was also a regular contributor on Radio 4 on Start the Week, Up to the Hour and Music for Pleasure.
Now, have you ever looked it up in the Oxford English Dictionary? If you look up lib, you'll say you'll see the definition there is to castrate, to emasculate.
Fritz Spiegel, who arranged the UK theme, which was put into use this week in 1978. This week, 27 years ago, GWR spun off its new AM oldies service.
So let's take you through the day on Brunel. At 7 a.m, Brunel splits two ways. One breakfast programme for Swindon and Wiltshire, hosted by Tony Gillam. And meanwhile in Bristol, you'll hear Trevor Fry.
And we're off to the Blaise Hamlet at Blaise Castle in Bristol for a quick look at those wonderful thatched cottages. Completing the hour, we've got music from the great Nat King Cole, Trini Lopez, an orchestral piece from Henry Mancini and Dean Martin. But at 7:20 on Brunel Radio, the wonderful Judy Garland.
Any station which plays Judy Garland gets applause in my book. The launch of Brunel Radio this week in 1988 and the start of that oldies chain. It became Brunel Classic Gold and then Classic Gold and now Gold. We finish this week back in the BBC's early days this week in 1922. When the company was just a day old, Marconi's research department suggested a time signal under direct control of the Greenwich Observatory. Now, they didn't get round to doing it just back then, but there were time signals in those very early days, just before the news. The announcer played the Westminster chimes on a piano. Goodness, what time is it? Ah, it must be 3 o'clock. And later, the time signal was played on a set of tubular bells they installed in the studio.
BBC News at 9 o'clock. Shares on European markets.
My apologies for the crash at the beginning of this summary. My desk lamp fell over. BBC News.
I don't think Radio 4's Susan Ray would have been trusted with any tubular bells. There she was knocking over the angle-poise lamp on air this week 4 years ago. So, with Manchester's first radio station, 2ZY, launching 93 years ago...
The only way of getting the news bulletins in those days was to have them telephoned up from London, taken down in shorthand, typed, and then read by myself or somebody.
Mark Goodyear ending his stint on Radio 1's Top 40 13 years ago.
That's after we played the 50th anniversary number one, Christina Aguilera with Redman.
In town tonight, beginning on the Home Service 82 years ago.
We hope to bring you something interesting every week.
BBC Radio Surrey launching the opt-out from Radio Sussex 24 years ago.
So don't forget, Thursday the 14th of November, 104.6 FM. BBC Radio Surrey.
Radio 1 launching on digital satellite TV 16 years ago. And Digital 1, the first national commercial DAB multiplex launched by GWR and NTL that same year.
Planet Rock News.
Those are this week's radio moments.
Marconi made it.
And we love it. Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Roy Martin. And thanks, Sam Bailey. Have a look at the Radio 1 iPlayer channel. It really is quite impressive. That's it for this week. It's been a TDC production, and we'll have another Radio Today programme next week. I've been Trevor Dan. Thanks for listening. Ta-da.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.